Toma tres. ¿Estás listo, Oliver?
Dale.
Hello and welcome back to the Uncommon Podcast, a podcast about two creatives and their initial journey. I'm Alejandro Mejías, and next to me, as always, is my dear friend Oliver Muñoz. Today, we're going to try to turn boring stuff into an interesting chat. We're going to talk legal requirements, things we didn't know we need, the paperwork we thought we needed versus the paperwork we actually needed, accounting, funding our initial setup costs, and just plain and simple money talk. Oliver, ¿cómo estás?
Buen día, Alejandro. Thanks, man. How are you going?
Buenos días. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Kind of a little bit scared.
Why?
Because we're going to, looking at the stuff we're going to talk about today, man, there's quite a lot of dry stuff. But we're going to make it interesting. We need to talk about this. It's an important part of the journey we've been through.
It's definitely part of it's part of the business. It's part of the journey. And there was a very steep learning curve, at least at my end.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'm scared about the legal stuff. That's one area that I'm yet to, you know, be comfortable with. But the accounting part, man, I like that stuff.
Yeah, I know you're a sucker for numbers. And
not that I'm good at math, actually.
That's an issue there.
I'm getting better, but I just like to have control over the numbers.
I mean, I love design, but I'm not good at designing. So.
Jesus, I think we're in the wrong place, man.
You already signed the piece of paper, man.
I'm not good at math, so we got no chance with the accounting, and then you're not good at design. What are we doing together, man? Why did we set up an agency?
So we could record a podcast.
That makes sense. Yeah. So we had to go through all of that process to end up.
We couldn't just say, man, let's just get a podcast.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about? I don't know. Should we just come up with an agency and talk about it? Even though we don't know.
Right. That was right. Yeah, maybe. Well, it was an experiment. We learned from it and now we're sharing the learnings.
Yeah. And now we have to get through with this agency because we are recording.
That's it. We're materialized it. So we're stuck with it.
I mean, I remember we were very exciting. I mean, we're still excited about it. But then once we hit that part of the process, you know, I was like, far out. This is going to be challenging. Like, this is getting serious, you know? Like, there are lawyers involved. There's an accountant, you know, looking after the finances, a bookkeeper.
Yeah. I think the accountant, so the idea with the accountant isn't too foreigner to us because we were already contracting.
Well, that's true.
You know, you need an accountant if you want to have control over all your expenses.
Like, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow.
Yeah, totally. So that was
it's not too far from, you know, the business that I had in Mexico, you know.
In Mexico, selling what?
We'll just leave it there. No, but it's not too far from day-to-day finances. And you do want to, as in having control over that.
It's super important.
It's healthy.
Yeah, they say you have to marry your accountant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tend to agree with that. I think you have to befriend them.
Do you want to talk about accounting or legal requirements first?
And we're going to talk about both. Let's start with legal requirements because that's actually the first thing that we did.
That's true. Yeah, we went through that process and the first thing we did, interviewing lawyers.
Yeah, actually, exactly right. Well, you
get lawyered up.
You kind of did that bit, actually, I remember.
Yeah, I took ownership of that and I say, Ale, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride.
And because you also found the lawyers that we work with through the accountant that you already had as well.
Yeah, it was a process. That was the second step. So the first, the first set of lawyers that we interviewed, they were great. But also there's this thing about relying on someone that comes through as a referral. And there's this thing about being referred or following through a referral. And yeah, like you said,
makes a difference.
The guys that we worked with, they came through the accountant, and still we went through the process of interviewing and making sure. That's one of the tips that I will give. Just make sure you're the right fit. Make sure it's the right type of law. Obviously, they will let you know.
Because
I remember just going through it and like, oh, okay, law for startups, that makes sense, but is this what we need? Like, just really dig into it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, actually. That was one of the things that I learned from this process was I didn't know actually that there were lawyers who would be dedicated to, you know, our particular industry.
Mm.
And that made a huge difference, because it's like, you know, if you go to a very sort of like the typical lawyer, the, you know, the one that may not even know what design actually is and mean, like, you know, what are the things that we do, our processes.
Like a contract lawyer per se, just.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been really hard to explain that. So it's just, that was a good thing that, you know, we were able to find people who understood our industry.
And we should probably highlight that they took us through the process very swiftly, because we didn't know anything about it.
Not at all.
Yeah. And so that's what we were looking for when looking for lawyers, amongst other things. But we needed someone who could hold our hand, pretty much what we do with our partners.
It was finding a match. Clients.
Yeah, just find a match, someone who's going to take you through the process end to end and is going to deliver at the end of it.
Totally.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were wary about or concerned or very mindful of was the budget. We didn't want to spend a lot of money because we didn't have a lot of money.
Yep.
But lawyers can be expensive, man.
Don't get me started. I mean, yeah, absolutely. They are. And I kind of already knew that. Well, I guess maybe it's kind of like an industry thing, right?
Like you think of a lawyer, you think of an hourly rate.
It's expensive. They're going to charge you for every comma.
$3,000 suit.
That's it. Yeah, expensive, you know. Yeah, expensive suits.
Have you seen the series Suits?
Very nice offices. I haven't.
No. It's not that good. But yeah, it's all about this.
They're lawyers, right?
Yeah, they're lawyers.
It's a law firm.
And yeah, it's just all about the showtime.
I didn't watch Suits, but I was watching a series called The Billion Dollar Code.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting.
Is it a Google one?
Yes.
Is it German?
The dispute between these two Germans who allegedly, created the technology behind Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get this very expensive law firm to help them,
right,
you know, with the case. Because in the United States, patent lawsuits are like $10 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because Google is very, like the Sydney office is very proud of inventing Google Maps. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that come out of Australia, like world renowned. Google Maps is one of those. Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Wi-Fi from CSIRO in Canberra. That's another one.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, putting Australia on the map.
Yeah, man.
Good.
It's not just about the Olympics in 2000, you know, or the most locked city in the world. Ah, fuck. Let's just stop talking about COVID.
Yeah, don't.
But, yeah, don't. But yeah, man, like...
From Australia,
Those two things, I mean, that I can remember right now.
Yeah. And you know what?
They're proudly
Australian. And you know what also will be proudly Australian pretty soon?
Vegemite. Oh, what?
Uncommon.
Yeah.
These two Latinos, I can already see it. These two Latinos started a podcast talking a bunch of
legal stuff. budget, man, that was one thing. By the way, we got a fixed rate with these guys, which was good for us to,
yeah,
they give you a ballpark, like, you know, it doesn't really go too far off what they tell you, so that's good. But do you want to know about one thing? What?
No, go.
I remember something that we didn't know we need. It was registering the company.
You didn't know that?
Well, I didn't.
What do you mean? Like, as in,
I knew it was going to happen eventually, but I didn't know we had to do that, like, day one.
I didn't know the process, like, exactly, because I already had registered in the past for, you know, like, businesses, like other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I always done it myself. And I'm not even sure if I was doing the right thing. I had certainly registered.
So you probably had like an offshore company somewhere, money laundering.
I've registered like through ABN.
Ah, but yeah, that's one.
But
thing.
It was like, that was in my mind, like that was what the process I knew, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know what they were going to do.
Mm.
And I was kind of glad that we had the lawyers, like, you know, because
they're taking care of it.
Yeah, I think there's this stuff that you could potentially just try to watch a video on YouTube, like, you know, That's what a lot of people do these days, and save them upfront cost. But I think it's better if you go through lawyers because they know their stuff. And at the end of the day, like, you know, you get quality.
Yeah, and you are certain that that's going to get done the right way.
Especially legal requirements, I think it's worth doing.
Well, when it comes to partnering up with you, man, you want to get it.
Totally.
You got to get it straight. There was an ongoing fee with ASIC.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. ASIC, by the way, for those who may be listening outside of Australia, is the entity that takes care of basically, it's like a business registry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you find all the businesses in Australia.
I wish they revamped their website and all the UX, man.
Yeah, it's pretty old school. But I wonder when it was created, like probably a long, long time ago. But yeah, that's where you find all types of companies, like all the sole traders are there. Effectively, if you want to be a legal entity providing services and charging for your services, you are in ASIC. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we are not advisors in any shape or form. This is just us sharing our knowledge, and we're probably just being completely ignorant. So if we say something that doesn't make sense, please don't.
Don't hold us accountable.
Yeah, please don't. And
legal disclaimer right there.
Legal disclaimer. We should probably say that in Spanish as well, so there's no caveats, you know?
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say it, man. there was another curveball that came down to the structuring the company, and the best way, well, it was advised by the lawyers that we did it as separate companies. So instead of, because for many, many reasons, but the main reason was not being held accountable as an individual person like Ale and Ollie in case there was a dispute or something happened. So we just went in as individual companies.
As
a joint venture, yeah. So without getting too much into all the boring process, basically we are two companies. But doing that meant that we multiplied the paperwork by two.
Yeah, because what happened as well is like when we spoke to the lawyers about our situation, basically we said we both want to keep doing stuff on the side, like for ourselves in the meantime.
In the meantime, yeah.
So, you know, you can keep bringing in your own clients and I can bring in my own clients separately for our companies. So that's when they said, okay, well, you guys can create separate companies individually. And then Uncommon is a joint venture. And so if you find projects that, you know, go through Uncommon, then basically, you know, that's like a separate thing. So it's like, it's almost like a triangle. You know, we both see it on the bottom corners and then Uncommon is like right at the top, and that's kind of our structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense to me now. Before it didn't make sense.
At the beginning,
I mean, it took me
like
a little while to wrap my head around it. I was like, what do you mean that is my company being Panama or something? Like,
because obviously, like, there are things that come with that, right? Like, it's like, you know, as a company now, we give our services to Uncommon as a, you know,
individual companies.
Exactly, individual companies. Yeah. Let's not go through all of that because that's just going to be like super dry. But there's some interesting anecdotes that happen from that actually, because like not only we needed to, now that we multiply all this paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that email came through and then they were just like,
we just had to sign so much paperwork, man.
PDF after PDF after PDF.
We're like 20 documents or something.
I think so, yeah.
It's crazy, right? And then we made a couple of mistakes and then we had to like go back and forth. And I was sending you the PDF so you can sign it on your end, and you were sending them back to me.
Oh, yeah, because you signed it and then sent me a copy and then I signed it and sent it back. Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
it was like a whole process. It was like, it took like a whole hour morning.
This was on the line too.
Yeah, we were doing that by like Google Meet.
Yeah.
Or a Wi-Fi. Yeah, exactly. It was not in person either, because I was like in the middle of lockdown. So we had to go through all the paperwork. But also,
which meant I didn't get to use my Mont Blanc that I just bought.
That fancy one. Did you just buy that off the money from the account that we put together?
Did you see that coming out of the account?
I was like, I saw it the other day. I was like, man, like, where's this old money gone?
What's it? $4,000? Just no, man. I wish.
But you know what? I remember one thing, man.
I mean, I don't wish I took the money. I wish we had a fancy pen.
We'll buy one eventually. Don't worry, man. It's all good. We'll get there.
Yeah.
For now, let's stick to the paper mate.
Yeah. Wait, well, you love electronical. What is that?
Electronical.
Electronical. You love the electronic paper trail. You don't like using paper. Like
no.
Physical paper. You're against that.
Absolutely, man.
But you're a UXer. What do you do when it comes to post-its?
Miro.
Ah, but before Miro.
Miro.
What was Miro called before? They rebranded, remember?
They were called First Time Board or something like that.
Nah,
I can't remember.
It was
something like that.
It was like two words. It was something I can't remember.
The word board is in there, but I can't remember the first one.
Yeah.
No, before that, I don't remember. I guess I used post-it notes before.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Shame.
Such a waste.
Shame.
Yeah, no, it's such a waste of resources and paper. Anyway.
Anyways,
one thing that I want to share about our story with the lawyers is that by us setting up separate accounts, we also had to find individual names for our companies.
We
kind of had to do that on the fly. It had to be quick because the problem is like we already had Uncommon, obviously, and we've gone through this process of branding the agency, like we spoke in the last episode.
Yeah.
And now we needed to come up with names for our companies as well, man. And we needed to do that fast. We didn't have the luxury of time this time.
No, because everything was on hold because of that.
Because of that.
Yeah.
And so tell me about your name, because you picked yours super quick and then I took forever to find mine.
So before I tell you my name, well, the name of the company.
What's your name?
My company. Oliver, mucho gusto.
Ah, nice to meet you, man.
Before I tell you that, I'll quickly tell you my thinking. So I was sitting in front of the computer and searching for available names.
Okay.
And as in on the ASIC website.
Right.
And then I was like, what do I do? Well, I'm a designer. Mm-hmm. And then I will be providing my services as a designer. So maybe I'm some sort of service provider, consultant, you know, something along those lines. But then I didn't want to be like, actually, I looked for visual designer consultancies or consultant, and I went along those lines.
Right.
But then I thought, it wasn't available, by the way. And there was every single combination of those words out there already taken. But the one that wasn't was experienced design consultant.
Ah.
And then it's a PTY LTD, right?
Right.
And that was available. And I did it in like 5 minutes. And my thinking was maybe 10.
So you were just trying to get luck. You were just typing these words.
Yeah. My thinking behind that was like, nobody, this is not public facing, as in only Uncommon is going to see this.
Yeah.
And potential.
Well, your clients would say.
Potential
if you
clients,
have like separate clients.
Like if I go and consult.
Exactly.
Or contract, they'll see it. But it's not as in, it's not my website, it's not my brand. It's like it's just the name of the company. So in my head, I was like, this is easy. Like it's done, you know?
Mm.
But you have a different story.
Yeah, my approach was different. So I thought a bit more of a...
Your UX brain kicked in.
No, no, no. I think in this time, I was like, okay, I'm going to come up with a name that it's not me, right? That was something that I ruled out, because prior to that I had this really shitty name, which was my
what, Alejandro.
Yeah, it was like my name.
That's not a shitty name, man.
No, I seen like in the company, it was like when I was like a freelancer.
It was a sole trader.
Yeah, sole trader.
Yeah,
Alejandro Mejia's designs so bad.
Okay,
I just couldn't come up with something better at the time. And so this time around, I thought I'll take the time to get it right, right? And so, yeah. And so, anyway, it's not revolutionary or anything, but I thought I just want to make it sound professional and like a real company for the first time. And so, anyway, I tried my luck with so many names. Dude, I think I was there for a whole day.
I remember you messaging me. I was like, have you found it? And I was like, yeah, man. Like 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I was still struggling. And you guys were waiting for me. And you and the lawyers were waiting for me to, you know, have my name ready so they can go and register it. Anyway, long story short, I came up with Alme.
Alme.
Which is, you know, short for Alejandro Mejías.
Yeah.
So it's AL, first two letters of my name, and then the first two letters of my
Alme,
second
Alme,
first,
what
first
else?
Name.
Huh? Alme what?
Alma Group.
Group, yeah.
Alma Group, yeah. Yeah, I had
that. That sounds very official.
I tried Alma and that wasn't available. So I just added the word group. And man, that does sound legit.
And man, that you came through at the end. And then after that, yeah, there were a series of documents that we thought we needed. But what we actually ended up needing at the end was the stakeholders agreement.
And yeah. Yeah, well, they gave us a list of the things that we needed to get based on our situation.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, they did. Right. Like, and it's like, you guys need to get this straight up from the beginning. You need an agreement between the two of you. And that process took a little while, mainly because you and I were sitting on it discussing.
Yeah. See, but that's the point where
you wanted 90% of the company. And I was like, man, come on.
Yeah, I tried my best, but you know, I guess you're, you know, smarter than me. So you know what though? Like, that's the point where I was like, you know, it's good that we paid somebody else because then they gave us what we needed.
Yeah. And they went through the whole document and say, hey guys, you're missing something here. This is our recommendations there. All this was on Google Docs in the cloud, and we were leaving comments and tracking all that. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And at the end, we got that sorted.
So we did all this paperwork, man. Like, I remember. So first was the stakeholders agreement. So that was like a few pages of just filling out details and like all the dividends part, like who gets what in what case, and how do we go about all that. And that was all well explained in the document, I think, as well. So
yeah, it was all very clear.
That was good.
We had the employment agreement because we needed that for our separate companies as well, because we are basically hiring ourselves.
Ourselves, yeah. Which is a little bit weird, right? It's like,
yeah,
who's the boss here?
Yeah, who should I tell that I'm going on holidays?
Yeah, exactly. What if a pay raise?
And what if he doesn't approve my leave?
Man, I never thought about this. Right now, I'm like, you know, okay, so who gets our...
You've seen that movie Split?
Who approves our sick leaves? Yeah.
That's going to be us, man.
Yeah, that's
it. It's like HR, that's one personality. The boss has another personality. Yourself.
You have to play all the roles.
You have to play all the roles, yeah.
Like, hey, boss, can I go on a break? No, you can't. Come on, man. And then you start this whole argument, it's just you. And then somebody else walks in and like, what are you doing, man?
But it's still you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Are you talking to yourself? I'm talking to my second personality, who's my boss. Yeah.
Just going with
Joseph,
you.
My boss.
Joseph, my boss. Yeah. But yeah, I think in a nutshell, those are all the legal hurdles that we had to go through. It took around, are you going to say like a month maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't say hurdles. They were just like part of the process.
Well, yeah. I think if we ever do this again, as in set up another company, we are going to be obviously very much very more educated.
Yeah,
it should probably be faster.
I think knowing,
but yeah,
well, if there are the same documents, yeah, absolutely. At least we know what we need to go through.
And the good thing is that they told us, they let us know of future documents that we might need and the costs, and so we have that there as well waiting for when we need them.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, get yourself some lawyers, make sure
it's worth it.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth it. It really helps. It like, and then they tell you things that you obviously don't know, right, which is expected. Like you don't need to know all of these by heart. Like I guess one of the other things as well that we went through was getting insurance set up.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And I think, I can't remember if they told us this. This was more I think we knew from the start. We needed to get insurance anyway.
Well, by we, you mean?
Well, as in
me.
You actually, this was your initiative. But I was like, you know what? It makes sense that we're doing this.
Yeah. So basically, we need insurance as a company. And they did recommend two types of insurance.
Yeah.
The public liability and the professional indemnity.
Yep.
And the professional indemnity is basically you provide a service as a company and then you charge for the service. Hopefully you charge for the service. And if the client for some reason is not happy with the outcome, they're in every right to sue you for that. So you say you're going to deliver a website and then you just deliver the wireframes, for example.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, we agree on this. And they say, no, we agree on the other thing. They can sue you for that, and then you are liable for that. So basically, I came to you saying, man, we need to get this sorted because if for some reason this happens, we need to have the money.
Yeah.
You know, if the project is $500,000, you pay the excess and then you get, you're covered for that in case, you know,
yeah,
that it goes down to that. But that being insured also allows, it's required by some of the clients, some of the partners that we work with.
Yes.
They require for you, your company to be insured against some of these items. And
it also covers us from like situations in which we might be involved.
If you go to the company or if you go to their offices drunk and then you burn the place down, which
I mean,
that may not happen.
That won't happen, but full disclaimer.
We don't talk about it anymore. But we also insure.
Remember that time when it happened? No, I'm joking.
I'm surprised you remember because the state you were in. We basically insure against that as well.
Yeah.
And you are required by law and by them to be insured. So we just went on, did some research and got that sorted. Maybe to anyone listening to us right now and owns a business, all this sounds very serious. Like, of course you need that. But the funny thing about this is that we didn't know that, and maybe other people didn't know about it either. So
I don't think, you know, a lot of people, it's something that crosses your mind, but I don't think a lot of people will know the step by step. And we're not going through the step by steps here, but we're definitely like, we're just touching the, grasping the surface of it.
And all that costs money, right? And this is where the accountant comes in and the bookkeeper. So we got to keep track of all these numbers, which is something that you really enjoy.
I actually like this, especially because I do it for myself, actually. And I'm very frugal with spending for the most part. Like, you know, sometimes I splurge on things, but even the splurge comes from a particular account that I have set up. Like I have...
Separate one.
Yeah, I have probably like 10 different accounts. So it's easier for me to kind of, you know...
But that's funny.
Distribute
now,
money.
Now when I go log into my bank account, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I have like 6 or 7 accounts all linked up.
It's
under the same profile because of the different ventures, including this one.
Yeah, same actually.
It's a bit overwhelming to look at them on the dashboard, but also it's like you know that you're not going to spend money from the other account.
Totally. Yeah. No, it's the best thing. Actually, I do have a similar experience because I have like all of the... with Commonwealth, like I have the all of the, I mean, like probably five different accounts there. Mm. But then I also have bank accounts in other banks. So it's like in my phone, I basically have to jump from app to app just to check money, move money. But I love it. Actually, I truly enjoy that process because it gives me the ability to stay in control, know how much I have, and not overspend. And so, I think like, That's me personally, right? Like I also there comes a point where I'm like, I don't want to do all of the other stuff that's required. For instance, doing a tax lodgement or a BAS, which is a quarterly
installment.
I guess installment you have to pay the government
based on your sales.
Exactly. Like it's not. I mean, I've done it, but it's not like I want to do it for the business moving forward. We want to focus on.
The business.
Exactly. So that's what the accountant is super important.
Yeah. And the accountant came out and said, the way you guys are structured, you are not receiving wages. You will be received dividends at the end of the year.
Yes.
And you need to be mindful of that. So that's in a healthy business, that's only, they're payable at the end of the financial year, I should say. And we have different bank account for that, for GSTs and taxes and all that sort of stuff. So for expenses, accounts receivable, I think those are basic stuff that we need. But the way it's all set up in Xero, the accounting software that we use, we didn't do that. That was from the bookkeepers and the accountant.
Also help from them. Yeah, exactly.
And they did all that for us. The only thing that we do on a quote-unquote day-to-day activity there is just reconcile things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. There's something.
You okay?
Yeah.
You're probably getting...
double vax, man. Shut up. Excuse me. All right.
Voice is frosty today. What's happened, man? Is it talking about accounting that gets you like that?
Yeah, man. It gets me sentimental.
You know? Oh, really? That's okay, man. Don't cry. You know what, though? Like, overall, the biggest thing for me from the lawyers and the accountant was the fact that they were all young guys. And what I want to get to there is that I felt like they both actually came from startups. Like when I say startups, small business, I'm not actually small businesses. I should rephrase. And it was very good, man, because I felt like it was a very approachable kind of relationship.
Yeah. At the same level, right?
Like totally.
We're at the same level.
Totally. You know, and they were always happy to answer all of the questions that we had. They were very good at explaining everything. And, you know, that to me really, really, really stood out. Because at the end of the day, right, it's a very important part of the process and we really need to go through it and understand it. But also, you don't want to have to go to someone who you feel like, if I ask the question here, like they may A, charge me, or B, you know, not have the time to respond. But these guys were the opposite of that. And I thought it was really good.
Completely opposite. And when we talk about partnerships of the people that you surround yourself with, I think that's
what we talk about right there.
It's very important, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other benefit that was explained to us around setting up a company where the tax evasion, the legal way to do it. Can you imagine that I'm just disclosing that? Which, like, obviously is not true, but...
It sounded like it, actually. I was, like, super hooked. I'm like, this guy's going to say something serious.
Yeah, so you know those papers that we sent to Panama?
Yeah, I remember that. Don't say that.
tax purposes, for tax purposes, I should say, and as a company, you are in a threshold, and then that's how you pay yourself dividends at the end of it.
That's it.
And that's quite attractive because as an employee, your taxes are deducted depending on the bracket that you fall in.
Correct.
Right? At the end of the financial year. So that's why some people pay 18% or 30%, 36% and whatever. That still happens, but then because we own the company, we get paid those dividends at the end of it. And if you are a contractor, anyone listening out there, if you're a contractor or freelancer, and then you start to break that threshold when you start making more money, essentially, that's when you should start thinking about structuring yourself as a company.
I think that's the point where it's actually worth doing.
That's when it's worth doing this
extra spend up front to set it up, and you have to annually pay the fee to ASIC. But like from a tax perspective, it's
so basically attractive. The last 30 minutes we've been talking about this right now comes down to this, right? The tax purposes, and you still obviously should pay your taxes.
You have to, man. Of course. But it's like you're saying something like you should. Like most people don't.
Well, I don't know, you know?
Well, true.
I'm just saying that you should pay your taxes. You will still do that as a company, but then you can get your benefits if you're a shareholder in the company.
Yeah, it is beneficial. I think it's good. You know what I was thinking just before?
No, man, I don't read your mind.
Well, you should. You know,
just looking straight into your eyes.
It was just like, kids, pay your taxes.
Yeah, this is another announcement brought to you by ATO.
Remember, taxes are important for, I don't know.
To keep in, I don't know, the city running. But when you, okay, so here's the thing, just quickly on taxes. If you look at a city like Australia or a country like a city like Australia, what the?
Oh, man.
We've
lost it.
If you look at a city like Melbourne, or I was going to say, or a country like Australia in general, first world versus a third world country, they both pay taxes.
Yes.
But then you see out the window here, and then there's a beautiful city, right?
Yeah.
Like there's like laneways and bike lanes and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go, for example, to Mexico, only certain parts of the cities have that level of infrastructure and development. So that's when people in third world countries are like, well, what am I paying taxes for?
Yeah, well, that's the biggest thing, right? Actually, full disclosure, I think there are countries, and I'm don't want to say names really, but that pay no taxes at all. Like people pay no taxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a very terrible country thing.
Yeah, and
so that's why you don't see anything.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's being just maintained. Like, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, and that's why it's one of the things that a lot of immigrants, like Latinos at least, and the friends that I speak to,
yeah,
when they arrive here, they're like, "Oh man, you know, I can't believe the everything's so clean and everything works." And basically, what they mean by that is that the countries where we come from, a lot of the times, like, you know, it's places are not like not well maintained at all. Like, there is a reason why the public system in general,
yeah,
just doesn't work. That's because some people don't pay taxes, and they're not and you can get away with it. That's the thing.
But yeah, pay your taxes, kids.
That's it. That's the biggest lesson.
And
it's important.
The other thing that we should be talking about today is where do we get this money from?
The setup cost.
For funding our business.
I mean, this is another interesting one, because I think it kind of ties in with the process of the accounting part and a little bit of the numbers, which I am, again, like I said before, very interested on. And to me, starting a business was something that I always wanted to do, but I wanted to do it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to kind of go out and get a loan to start the business or go completely broke to start the business either. Like, mm-hmm. I always like to have, you know, a plan B financially.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, if I don't have any savings to put up front, then, you know, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That was kind of my thinking.
I'm the same. Like, I didn't want to have to call my uncles in the cartel in Mexico and be like, "Hey, man, here's an idea. Can I borrow a few grand?"
Absolutely not.
Because there's always the option, man. You know?
I know you had that option, but I wanted to actually stay away from it only because, you know, there are some...
A few issues risk. Might arise from there. Yeah.
Some minor risk.
Yeah, but no, I think we did the right thing by not doing that and just putting some of our own money and time
totally
into this.
Yeah, and do it the right way. I mean, like, it may not be the right thing for everyone. Some people may want to take the risk. Like, I think maybe we're more risk adverse in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, we have families. you know, we can't just take the risk like that and
yeah,
you know,
but, and
see if it sticks.
And the way we set it up is, you and I, we're just equal partners, which is, I think it works. Like, we're not really looking at the time and say, "Hey man, I work 40% time today and you only work 30%.
Yeah, which is what happens, but like, you know, but on paper it's 50-50.
On paper it's 50-50.
Yeah.
But yeah, should we? I'm going to go through some of the recap these with initial costs. Not costs, but like the items.
The things we actually spend money on to
set
up.
Yeah. We needed a web domain. So we pay for that.
That's
and
it.
And the hosting. We pay for the branding. We pay for business insurance, email server, as in the Gmail.
The actual, yeah.
Yeah, all the tools. The design collaboration tools, Notion.
Yes.
Keep banging on about that. Maybe one day Notion will come to us and be like, "Can you show your workflow on Notion?"
That would be cool. Miro, if you're listening, you can
sponsor
us.
Miro is the other one. Yeah. Figma, that's a no-brainer. And Adobe Suite is just like, you have to open a PDF from time to time.
That's it. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
We had the discussion before, and I'm happy to pay for it, to be honest. It makes sense.
So we'll see. Legal fees.
Obviously, we spoke about that.
Accounting fees.
Yes.
I can just hear the background. Ting, ting,
ting, ting. Yeah.
And some of these fees are monthly fees as well. So they just
keep
adding up throughout the year. But you started making that calculation before we started this whole process. And
that's it. We have already everything. All of the money that we spend yearly or monthly. Let me ask you this. Do you think this is like is exhaustive of what you need to get started?
I think it's necessary. And when you look at it from a bird's eye point of view,
yeah,
you know, when you look at the whole thing from above, it could be a lot. But what you and I did, we just took it in little pieces, in chunks.
Yeah, we that's true.
And we're like, okay, we're going to do this first. We're going to do this later.
Yeah.
And others at the end of the day or at the end of this process, It was all there. So,
but I think it was like, looking at it now, I'm like, you know, if somebody was to ask me, what do I need? What's usually the upfront cost related to starting a business, mm-hmm. a design business? I think this is a good summary of the stuff that you probably will need to spend money on. Maybe some you can get away with not having, like depending on the type of design that you're going to do.
Yeah, true. Or it could be more, you know?
Exactly.
Again, it just depends. But there's some basics that you definitely need to account for. And always do that. And my advice would be in a bit more. Because I think we went over budget, you and I, but in a healthy way. Because it's not like we splurged money. It's just simply that's how it happened.
That's it. But then again,
we're not left out of pocket either.
No, and that's the other key thing about having, you know, the savings up front and like making sure that, because I think like the way I did it anyway, it was like, here is some money that I put aside from mm-hmm. my savings to go into the business. And here is some extra money that I have as well, just in case it goes over budget. So that was kind of, you know, my thinking all the time, like have that cushion.
Yeah, you know, that's a healthy way.
If I fall.
Money.
Yeah, money
talk,
man.
Show me the money.
That's it, baby. But look, man, I think we did it. We went through it and it was good.
Yeah, and it's just part of the expenses, right?
That's it. Which is an interesting one, actually, because part of the expenses, like there's one that I've always had in my mind, which is the office.
The office space.
Like,
You have a pretty good setup at home.
Not only that, I think now after the pandemic and after what has happened here in Melbourne, like 2 years of lockdown, I'm thinking just like, you know, do we really need to be in the office or can we just be anywhere? Like that time that I was working earlier this year, I went away for some time and
maybe we should talk about that next episode.
Let's do that.
You were in a van. I was in regional Victoria.
And we were still taking meetings and doing the work remotely. Yeah. So do we really need to be in an office?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
See you on the next one. Adios.